It's 9 a.m. on the dot. I might be, it'll be Jane shepherding the CD that Sue is on, because Sue had an operation on her knee, so she CD'd it today. So that's going to happen today at 11 a.m. Stick around for that. I have two guests today, one in the 9 o'clock hour, a gentleman named Nick Puente, who is part of a power pop band with Gem Records, Nick Puente and the Complicated Men. He'll be here about 9:20-ish, and we'll talk to him about his musical history and the new album and hear a couple songs as well. Then at the 10 o'clock hour, we have Garrett Vandermolen, the front guy and lead singer of the band Speed Fossil. A lot of news about that band. We've got some new remixes and masters to play, and some talk about this very ambitious guy's projects that are going on. He's smiling at me, but I didn't turn on his mic, so I win. So he'll be on at 10. So until then, I have a lot of Freeform and New Noise. New Noise includes Spencer Arjong, The Sins, Stupidity, The Cocktail Slippers, Girl with a Hawk, and starting off with the great Roxanne Fontana from her brand new record. It's a great cover to start us off today. You'll know it right away, everybody. This is Dancing Barefoot. It's our first New Noise of the day, right here at WMFO in Medford.
Connecting with him. Here I go and I'm close. God, I'm praying hard that I love the only one left. Somebody help me forget. I get the feeling that it's time to get up, but I can't.
This is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
WMFO Medford. Oh yeah, the refrain's going to be stuck in my head for a while. That's okay with me. Fifth song of the set, rounding things off with the great Cocktail Slippers, who were just here last week with Stupidity. Had a great time with them. That was a new single from them called Jungle. Just before that, Boston's Own Girl with a Hawk. Their latest single called Share It All. a sentiment that I want to share with you today for sure. Hiber, Boston's own, with a new single for this year called Grow. Love that. Happy Little Clouds from their 2016 record called Shift. That was Somebody Help Me Forget. And the great Roxanne Fontana started us off with a fabulous cover from her new record called Some Have Fun. That, of course, was Dancing Barefoot. And on the phone, everybody, I've got a lovely yet complicated gentleman named Nick Prenti. And Nick has a band called The Complicated Men and a brand new record called Up and Out of It. Nick, welcome to WMFO.
Mike, how are you? Thanks for the introduction. That's exactly what my wife calls me. Lovely and complicated.
Oh, I know. We've spoken. We speak a lot. how did I do, by the way, with the pronunciation?
Pretty good. Punti is more of it, like a
Punti.
But, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well,
you're a lot better than most of my friends.
All right. Well, I tried. I tried. So listen, congratulations for being on Gem Records. You've got a really nice record company, nice people, and some very talented label mates on there.
Oh, yeah. Marty has been in the business forever because he's forever old. But
yeah,
he's had quite a history. And if you look up his history, it's pretty amazing. And he called me, contacted me unexpectedly. Gosh, it's been maybe almost like 9 years ago, I think, and wanted to know if he could release my next record, and which was already underway, and so we kind of started that process. I'd send him what we're doing in studios, and he'd always chime in with some critiques or suggestions. And it's funny, you know, when you're doing your own thing and you think it's right, and then someone chimes in, the younger me would have said, nah, even my producer would say, you know, it's kind of a headache sometimes, but Marty's usually right, so he's got that going for him.
You know, I hate to tell you, but it's a sign of maturity and growing up to actually have that realization. So that's a good thing. And I Marty's got a great rep, and I'm glad that he's working with you. It's very cool. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. I mean, when I was reading up on you, I know you're a Detroit boy, and you grew up very near the city in Riverview, Michigan, and you love guitars, don't you? I mean, you just love them.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I remember looking at, like, Montgomery Ward's, catalogs and looking what guitars were before I even bought electric guitar. And then my first electric guitar was a Made in Japan Epiphone, which sounds like today a Made in Japan Epiphone would be an amazing instrument. But back then, it was not very good. And I got my first good guitar, an SG, I think for Christmas in 1970. I believe. 73, maybe.
In 1972-ish, I happen to know that you were in the sixth grade, and that was when you started your first band, in sixth grade, and I love the name of it. It was Dwarf.
Yeah, we were actually called Sunset at first. I remember being in sixth grade, like, trying to draw logos, and Sunset sounds like a wedding band name now, but that fall, we were lucky to get a manager who was 9 years older than us.
Really?
He picked Dwarf, not because I was 4'6", but because Bob Dylan's music publishing was Dwarf Music, so we were told.
Mm-hmm.
So, and at first I kind of was a little rebellious about the name because Dwarf, because I was always called Puny instead of Punty because I was so short.
I'm laughing with you, not at you. Trust me.
But then it was like, he explained to us why it would be cool name. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are, short at that age and whatever. Yeah. But, most of our listeners are probably thinking, oh, that's great. 1972, kids' first band. It probably, lasted through middle school. But no, somehow you guys made this band last for 14 years.
Our manager, Merle, he kind of had us believing we were probably much better than we were. But, he taught us song structures and how to write songs, and it was a fantastic way growing up. Best buddies, still remain so all these years later, and it was quite a journey.
Well, speaking of all those years later, I mean, as a human being, you're a much different person. You can't help it from when you're in sixth grade to 14 years later, and yet you're in the same band. What was that like, doing the same thing, as you changed so much as a human 14 years later?
Well, I think the thing that was probably healthy for us is our audiences change. You know, we would start out playing junior high dances,
right,
and then high school dances, and then college gigs, and then bars. So our audience grew with us, and I think that was probably the appeal to us at that age, because we were going to these middle schools playing dances, and these kids are having kids their own age. And, you know, it was very rare.
Exactly,
and
my point.
So
yep.
Really, and a young girl could see young guys, especially our drummer. They loved our drummer. I mean, it was like Beatlemania. They wanted to, they had to get a piece of them, and they'd rush the stage. It was really something else. It's like, yeah, well, I can do this for a living.
Well, I mean, you did have some success with that band, certainly. I know that you released a single like in 1975-ish that gained you a lot of regional attention, and your songs even back then were kind of high energy and melodic, which is what we call power pop these days, and you're still loving and doing that genre, power pop.
Yeah, I still haven't grown up. It's still kind of the same thing. You know, it's kind of, as you age, you know, I'd be playing the power pop bands that I, you know, loved growing up. Lyrically, they were a lot younger. I mean, Raspberries was a big influence. But
right, yeah.
I'm not going to write about, you know, Go All the Way or, you know, I mean, like, you write about different things as you get older.
Yeah.
Some of the bands that try to be the power pop thing, and if they're trying lyrically to be a power pop band, when you're, you know, middle age, that's kind of weird.
It's creepy. I mean, you can't write the same songs that you wrote in your mother's bedroom in sixth grade 14 years later. You just so, yeah, I'm totally with you for that. So
yeah, you just shouldn't.
That's okay. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. So, just sort of to fast forward through, you know, Nick, This Is Your Life. You did what many people do. You continued doing a lot of different bands. You moved to have a change of scenery out to L.A. You moved back to Michigan eventually. But you did have more success. You know, life is not like everything comes right away. It's a journey, and you've had your songs placed from a different band. You're in, I think it was called The Respectables. You had songs placed in a movie, song placed in a TV show. I mean, good on you. So all of that is building to where we are today in 2024. You've married, you've had a family, and you've come back home to doing music, and you've got a brand new band. When did this band start, The Complicated Men?
2018. I was recording it solo and used some great musicians, mainly Andy Reid was playing bass, and he has a studio in Bay City, Michigan. He's been in several bands. Legal Matters is the most recent band that you would know of.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie Brown is a drummer for Michigan's Verve Pipe, and Donnie is a great songwriter.
Yeah, I know them.
Musician. I learned a lot from Donnie, just kind of bringing your A game. He came to the studio when we were recording 13 in My Head, and no rehearsal. It just nailed it. It was just, wow, it was a kind of a little different level what I was used to prior to that, and was so I had my system, you know, making these records. We made I think four records with those guys, and then Jeff Hupp, our bass player, who was kind of a casual friend, but we knew of each other, and he's been in a lot of Detroit bands through the years, and I think he was looking to get back into something. And he said, hey, you looking for a bass player for the show you got?
Yeah.
He was going to do a solo show. I said, yeah. And then he brought along Ron Bensko. Who's
on drums.
Yeah. A solid drummer and enthusiastic. Ron's still trying to, you know, get famous. You know, it's like, Ron, you know, we got to take what we can get at our age, you know.
Set him straight, will you?
Yeah, then the next person to join was Kevin Darnell on keyboards, and then more recently, Joe Doc Savage on guitar.
And I know that Joe, I mean, you know, we talked about your love of guitars, and I would think, you know, fronting bands, you'd probably handle most guitar solos, but I know that you've got a special trust and relationship with Joe. He does a lot of solos these days in your band, right?
Yeah, he does. Actually, growing up, I was not just a rhythm guitar player, it's like, but... Mike Finn in Dwarf was our lead guitarist, and then in Respectables, it was Joe Gatus, who's a monster on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lynn Allen has shared some guitar work with me on some records. And so, yeah, I've always got good melodies in my head. I always kind of think of Elliot Easton, what would he play with my fingers? And so that's what I would kind of come up with. But,
yep.
Or Mike Campbell. love Mike Campbell. Mm-hmm. But then, we were doing gigs with just me and guitar, and it was like good, but something was missing every time I'd go to a solo. And Ron brought in Joe, and right away Joe was just like, "What is the perfect fit?" It's just like it was just perfect. And from the first rehearsal, the first song we played, and it's like, okay, you're hired.
That's the friggin' best, right? And you guys still face the same challenges as any band. There's so much great music out there, and you're making it too. But the question is, how do you break through all the noise? And I have
that is funny. I mean, you look like it. How do you break through? I mean, I guess, like I said, I think at this stage of the game for me, I kind of feel I've broken through with all the airplay and Sirius XM, Underground Garage.
Yeah.
And just, all the, if Michael DeBar plays a song, he just says what a great writer I am. It's like, I got to listen to that in front of my dad, with my 92-year-old dad. I said, "See, Dad, you said persistence pays off, that's why I'm doing it." Things like that.
There you go. There you go. So,
But breaking through, that's something. It's like I was talking to Jeff, a bass player who worked for Facebook years ago, and talking about viral, things go viral. He says, nobody knows why things go viral or everybody would do it. Mm-hmm. Things just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good to have, I don't know if you call it a shtick, but look at Chapel Run. She's been working really hard on it until she kind of came out with this whole image and with the drag queen look. And now she's getting attention for songs that she probably wrote 5-6 years ago. But
yeah, you never know. You never know. So I'm excited for people to hear your music. But before I do, many times musicians, it's a hobby for them, kind of. So you've got to have other things to do to, sort of fill out your life. Like I mentioned, you've married, you've got a family. However, I love this. You also own a restaurant.
Yep. It's called Sibley Gardens. It's been in the family for decades. My grandfather actually built the building. My grandmother used to work in the kitchen. My dad would handle the front of the restaurant. And he's 92 and still comes into the restaurant in the mornings. Doesn't chase the crowds too much anymore. He said, I just got to be a little bit careful being around a lot of people after COVID. But he's amazing. He's a golfer. I played golf with him yesterday. He shot 84. He's really good. Hopefully I'll get some of his genes and be able to keep making noise and playing golf and running his restaurant. So,
you are off to a good start, sir. I mean, this new album, been out since October 18th, called Up and Out of It. We talked the other day and I asked you to pick a couple of songs, and you landed on two of them. I'd like to sort of have you talk about them a little bit before I spin them. One's called Mind Reader. Tell us a little bit about that song and how it came about and what it means.
Yeah, that song's fun because I usually write all the songs for the album, but Joe, we were making this record. Joe had a couple ideas for some songs, and one of them worked out really well for us. It's a song called I'm Ready, and he had the riff, and then we kind of, can't remember, we just sat in the room and kind of worked the rest of it out, but I came up with the melody and the lyrics and maybe a couple of the changes, but that song's kind of, both two of my daughters got married in the last year, and the lyrics kind of about that, about specifically being that, but it's just about, okay, here we are, could have gone one way, but here we are together, we're going to make the best of it, and we can overcome anything. That's the kind of spirit that I hope they both take to their marriages. And then the mind reader, Joe had this, he was at my house, and he had this riff, it's like, yeah, I like it, that's catchy, because it's kind of starts with the chorus and it goes to the G, but he didn't have any idea what the chorus, necessarily the chorus or the verses were, I don't think, and so I played around with it, and he was actually involved in a relationship, so I was trying to be him and trying to figure out the relationship he was in. And so the dialogue, the lyrics, I thought it was kind of cool since it was his music. I said, I'm going to make a song for him if he could, put this into words.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the lyrics came from. And
it's a perfect illustration. It's a perfect illustration also to sort of show how having the good band around you that you trust to sort of collaborate with you too on these songs and the lyrics. Are most of your lyrics now at this stage of your life kind of autobiographical about your family, about your life experiences? Yeah.
Yeah, they're either about me or friends or the friends that are going through something or my daughters, you know. Last song on the record, first line was, I miss you so badly. It might be about my daughter being in Madison, but then it turns into a relationship song. But she said, yeah, I thought that was about me.
Okay, and the other song that I had played just on my own a little while ago, because I really took to this one right away, called Seasick. Tell us about Seasick.
Yeah, Seasick was about specifically about a band that kind of like all the power pop people are kind of going gaga over. It took me a while to appreciate them. At first, I just kind of thought they were a little light for my taste and that. So basically, that the opening line is, it's too twee for me. Mm-hmm. All the harmonies leave me seasick. Just kind of like kind of being funny about it. And then like saying, hey, you know, I like melodies, I like hooks, but I still like to rock. And sometimes the power pop influence bands get a little they get a little too twee for me, I guess.
So
and I think it's kind of cool. It's the right thing that are personal, but can be more than just about me. I don't like it to be too personal. I'm in the restaurant business, so you know I like to kind of keep some things to myself.
Sure.
But that was the beginning of that song. And then, you know, to me, when you're writing a song, if you get a first line, it kind of takes you on a path somewhere. And so that was kind of easy. It's like, just like on Bottle, it was like about me kind of being paired of top 40 radio, the same songs. Like, I've got a young daughters growing up, and they always have to listen to the top 40 music, and I try to introduce them to other things that I think are a little bit more interesting and more depth. But it's like, oh, here we go, this song again. It's like, how did this get in the radio? Who decided this is going to be 30 minutes?
Yeah, well, it's very, very personal stuff that you're talking about, that you're writing about. So, all right, I'm excited to let our audience in on your music. Let's spin these records in the order we talked about them. First, Mind Reader, then Seasick. Everybody, this is Nick and the Complicated Men, and this is Mind Reader to start us off right here at WMFO in Medford. We'll be back right after this.
Can't tell just where you are when you can't escape stars. perfect, hit me so quick.
It's WMFO in Medford. I'm Mike, and we just heard two songs from our guest. Hi, Nick, who's on the phone, from Nick Puente and the Complicated Men, from his great new album. That's really, really nice. It's called Up and Out of It. First, we heard Mind Reader, then Seasick. I love that stuff. Congratulations, Nick. That's really good sounding stuff.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, it sounds even good coming through the phone from your station. So pretty fun.
Well, very nice. I'm sorry that we don't have a lot of time to talk today. Let's fix that. Let's do a longer talk soon. And as I told you about our live day in June, maybe we'll see you.
Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right, we'll talk to you soon, I hope. And everybody, wherever you get great music, you will find Up and Out of It by Nick. Wherever you find great music. Thanks again, Nick. Really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, see you later. All right, everybody, that was Nick Puente and the Complicated Men, and just a wonderful bunch of power pop music from him. I'm going to play one more set, and then we'll be up here after 10 a.m. with Garrett from Speed Fossil to talk about a whole bunch of good stuff and hear a whole bunch of good music. Let's start off with new noise for this set from our friends in Stupidity. This is a cover, and it's called Cold, Cold Shoes, and it's new noise right here at WMFO in Medford.
Bad boys. What are you trying to do? Hey you, what are you trying to do? You're serving me lies upon a silver plate.
Yeah.
10 a.m. You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
Not here or there, in between. My hands aren't dirty, but they sure aren't clean. Searching for